Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Leaders in Supply Chain podcast, Latin America. I am your host, Xavier Mazañez, Managing Director for LATAM in Alcott Global. It's a great pleasure for me to you, listeners, to introduce you, Sergio Mancilla Stey. Good morning, Sergio.
Good morning, Javier, and welcome to the podcast to everyone.
Well, for the people that don't know Sergio, Sergio is the Vice President of South America and General Manager at Del Monte Fresh Produce. Sergio has been in this position for over 11 years, and he has been working as a senior, also VP of Operation in Florida in U.S., and he was leading all the Fresh Del Monte acquisition when he was changing from ownership many years ago. Before these roles in Del Monte, he has been developed a great experience and history in the maritime industry. So for me, it's a great pleasure to introduce you again, Sergio Mancilla. Welcome, Sergio.
Thank you, Javier, and welcome everyone to the podcast.
Yeah, perfect. So the people will be very, very interested to know about in a specific part of the supply chain or logistics in general. That usually the people just talk as a simple logistic or maritime transportation. But it's a very great point of critical way just to handle all the kind of product, and especially in the fresh fruit, in the business that you are, no? You have a very interesting career that you developed in your initial career in the maritime transportation. Okay, so can you tell us about this time in your career, how did you acquire these skills required in this logistic world for supply chain? Give us a little summary of that years.
Okay, thank you, Javier. First of all, just a small clarification. I didn't lead the acquisition of Fresh Del Monte. I was part of the group in due diligence, and my side was actually the shipping and logistics of the company to be acquired. Yeah. Well, about my experience. First of all, I studied in the Naval Academy in Chile. I'm very proud of being a part of this group of sailors. And then after graduating from the Naval Academy in 1980, I started sailing. And I was, for about 10 years, sailing on different merchant vessels, container ships. That at that time, the container ships were not the mega ships that you see right now. But at that time, when I was on board, they looked big. And I acquired lots of experience handling in and out port operations and everything, and my last position on a merchant marine vessel was as a chief mate. I was a chief mate in charge of doing all the towage and the stability of the ships and calculating, and I was the second in command on the ships. I didn't become a captain because it was back in 1990 when I decided to join a small company and growing company here in Chile, working in the agency department.
Yeah.
And at that time, the Chilean company was pretty much engaged in chartering ships. Yeah. But they needed someone with the skills, the skill sets from a sailor to handle that. So I was hired by management at that time, Mr. Abugasale and Mr. Haniel Nafi. They hired me to work on the operations here in Valparaiso. And that was back in 1990. And yeah. I was doing pretty well. I mean, I believe we were doing pretty well. We were running a decent number of vessels. So we had at that time 5 own vessels that we started building in 1984. Yeah. And we chartered in like 5 or 7 ships on a season. And those vessels were mainly employed to carry fruit from Chile to the U.S. and from Chile to Europe.
That was very, this is very interesting, no? Because how can you explain it, maybe the listeners, how is this, how critical is to manage the fresh fruit, and how should be the strategy or the action that you need to take care when you are moving fruit in a very short period of time? Because, I mean, the fruit usually have a very short shelf life. That's right.
Well, definitely, because we are handling highly perishable products, mm-hmm. and it requires lots of coordination from the packing houses up to the ship, mm-hmm. and then from the ship coordination to load as fast as possible, and then once on board, sail the vessel full speed with one part of discharge. Most of the cases is only one part of discharge. Unlike the liner carriers, that they have multiple stops in the way, we were loading Valparaiso and Coquimbo and then sailing direct to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. In the case of Europe, direct to Rotterdam. So
wow.
The transit time were 10 to 12 days to Philadelphia, up to 18 to 20 days to Rotterdam, so that we are sure that the fruit arrived in perfect condition. The vessels were all refrigerated vessels, conventional reefer vessels, and we were able to carry a big amount of fruit in one shot. So that was on that time we were doing that.
Not great.
And it was from 1981 until 1986 to be the leader on the shipping side, on the due diligence for a larger company. We were talking here 8 to 10 ships in the season in Chile. And uh-huh. they told me, look, we're gonna buy a company that has 40 ships. So
wow.
it's gonna be tremendous growth.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe a scary sometime, no, but a very challenging opportunity. That's right.
It was an interesting opportunity, and at that time, I was about four to five months traveling all around the world, visiting all Del Monte operations everywhere, starting in Coral Gables, where the head office is, then in Guatemala and Costa Rica, where the main producing areas are for bananas and pineapples.
Yeah.
Then Philippines, and Davao, Europe, where this is destination, Monaco, and all those places. And it was challenging, interesting, a big challenge for in my case, because I was jumping from 10 ships to 50, 10 that we had in Chile plus 40. So we have to look for the synergies between the two groups.
Yeah, got it.
And in Chile, we have a very efficient operation at that time. And I noticed that the operations that Network Shipping, Del Monte with the Mexicans, they were running a very poor operation. So it was an easy shot to calculate what are the synergies and what will be the savings under the new management.
Yeah, but very interesting because you travel to all the location for sure, make a very well mapping of the current ports of origin, destination, and you were able to calculate that puzzle. That's right, for doing a better synergies and a better roles that let you get arriving with a fresh fruit to your final customers.
No, most definitely, and. In this particular case, the challenge was to join the two groups and to make them work together. We put all the ships in the Del Monte pool, and we distributed them accordingly to the requirements of each loading port. We identify if some ports were duplicated. Let's say, for instance, Del Monte at that time was calling Savannah and Manatee. Savannah and Manatee are both in the southeast of the United States.
Yeah.
So for us, it was useless to have two ports in the same location, or more or less same location. Yeah. So we decided to cancel one port and instead define our hub in the southeast to be Port Manatee, which is right now, until now.
Wow.
We reviewed all the lease agreements with the port authorities and defined a strategy on the scheduling of the ships. To be efficient, you need to be flexible. You need to move like you need to move like a leopard very quick. You cannot be like a bear moving slow.
Exactly. Like a fish in the water. Like a fish in the water.
Definitely. So that's why we made all the changes. We reviewed all the charter parties, all the agreements that the previous Del Monte owner had with different ship owners, and we canceled charters. We canceled specific ships because we were joining. So some of ships were not to be used. Yeah. And therefore, we made everything more efficient and always focus on our cargo. The main focus, our cargo.
And that time you moved your resident to Florida. That's right. That was
at that time,
as a VP of operation, no?
Yes, I was appointed senior VP for shipping operations in January 1997.
Yeah.
And I was in that position until end of October 2006.
Yeah.
And I decided to come back to Chile because family matter.
Definitely. But at that time, for sure, in Florida, I mean, managing all the world of Del Monte from that headquarters, it should be very interesting and very challenging. Do you remember any specific anecdote or something like that on that time that you want to tell the people?
Well, apart from the usual challenges of running a big show, running big ships, and running a big company with ships, I believe the most important milestone was my participation on the opening bell when the company went on the IPO in New York, New York Stock Exchange.
Wow!
I was part of the group that was at that time with the chairman. In the opening bell, when the company joined the New York
the stock,
the stock exchange. So it was a very interesting thing. Never been before on that.
For sure. I never think about it to be in that point just for running all the shipment and all the network. No, that's very interesting. And usually the supply chain of fresh product, I mean, required, as you say, before a perfect synchronization between all players, no? And since that required a compromise, speed, good technology to keep product fresh from the farm, no? To final user, to the final consumer. I remember having working in a supermarket retail point, and we used to have a temperature control to keep sleeping, we say, the fruit and the vegetables to avoid the oxidation and keeping on hibernation. Not that. So how is that handling? How can you tell us about perfect synchronization and what you need to do to your fruits just to keep it fresh and looks beautiful in the shelf of the supermarket?
Let me explain you one thing. Until 1996 and before I started the due diligence with Del Monte, we were handling only deciduous fruits. Deciduous fruits normally they are refrigerated from the time when they are packed. Mm-hmm. So it's a very easy to manage product. Because it's always it is always under a controlled temperature ambient.
Yeah.
But in the case and you know in Chile and in every place where you have the deciduous fruit, there is plenty of warehouses to store the fruit waiting for the ship.
Yeah.
So when the ship arrives to Valparaiso port to load 5,000 pallets, all 5,000 pallets have been already packed 1 week ago, 1 week before, and they are waiting the ship. In a cooling facility. What I first noticed in the logistics of the bananas specifically, is that bananas are harvested when the ship arrives. So mm-hmm. you cannot at that time, you have to have the ship 3 or 4 days in the port to load the bananas, because you have to harvest every single day for that ship. If you have the capability to harvest 100,000 boxes in one day, then you load 100,000 boxes on that particular day on the ship. But if the order is to load 300,000 boxes, for instance, then you need to wait 3 days, because you have to harvest Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in order mm-hmm. to have the bananas cool. Bananas, they have from the farm to the ship, it's direct. They go at ambient temperature, and you you start the cooling on the ship. That is the good old days, on the old days, when we notice that this deficiency of having the ship 3 days or 4 days to load, because in the ports there were no cooling facilities, we started implementing a different set of tools to ensure that the ship doesn't wait for the harvest.
Yeah.
And at least to have the harvest of one day when the vessel is at the pier, and then whatever is in excess, we put it in containers. And we started putting containers in the field, or in the operations in Costa Rica. So to complement the operations on the ships, the ships are not only reefer conventional with the hatches on the under deck, but the ships we had with containers, 50, 100 containers. So whatever it needs under deck, it is already pre-harvest in containers. Yeah. And then loaded on the ship when the vessel arrives, and the balance that goes on top, that was already pre-harvested.
Okay. And just so conserving for sure refrigerated a lower temperature
bananas must be refrigerated 12 hours after harvest.
Yeah, 12 hours.
It cannot be longer than that. Otherwise, you will have risk of ripening. They start ripening very very quickly.
Very quickly.
Another thing that I learned on the logistics on bananas is that you can set your watch on time whenever you want, whenever you are in Philadelphia. We arrive to Philadelphia. We have to arrive to Philadelphia every Monday morning, 8 o'clock, alongside.
Uh-huh.
There's no excuses about this. So we have to set everything, all the logistics at the loading ports, to ensure that the ship arrives with a fresh load of green bananas to Philadelphia every Monday at 8 o'clock, because the customers are the ripeners, ripeners and jobbers. Those customers, they have cycles on the bananas. So when the ship arrives on Monday, already they have sold and exhausted and eaten every banana that arrives the Monday before. So the vessel arrives with almost no bananas in the warehouse for distribution, and arrives every Monday morning. And from there is a 3-4 day ripening cycle, so that the customers can have the perfect cycle for the ripening. If you arrive late, you disrupt the cycle.
And that's right.
That's very bad for the logistics of the bananas with the customers and the retailers. Yeah.
Wow.
Those are the kind of things that are key points on the logistics of this product.
So for sure, all of you have a Swiss watches. That's right. Instead of,
we
say, just for the perfection. Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. And as you said before, you moved to South America, to Chile, no? Because you want to be closer to the family, and starting managing the South American region from Chile, from the south part of Chile. How was that?
Correct. At that time, we decided to move with the family because of family issues, and I took the role of managing the South American part of the group, which is limited to the citrus fruits and some citrus farms that we have in Uruguay. So
that's right.
The South America operations entails Peru, Chile, and Uruguay. We used to be in Argentina with grain, but because of all the geopolitical problems there, the company just walk, we decided to walk away from that country. So I mean, coming back home at that time, it was something that I want, my family wanted, and I decided to take the challenge anew again, new challenge to return, but in a different role, because when I was promoted to senior VP in Miami, I was here in Chile with just agency operations. So coming back to take the leadership of the group, challenging, many good friends were still here running the show. So we have to adapt ourselves to a new position. That's it.
And also to take
another challenges on the agronomy agronomical side, which is something that it was not part of my curriculum, to understand the agronomists and to understand the lingo that they use normally when they speak about the fruit.
Oh, that's very, very interesting. So you expand your knowledge in that area, that's right?
Definitely. Yeah. I have been attending to courses, diplomas, and all that. I'm not gonna go to the university to learn about agronomy, but at least I know what they are talking about.
Yeah, I can imagine. And in that time, it came one of the biggest disruptions that we have been experiencing in the last years, that was the COVID-19, that's right. So can you tell us which type of disruption did you face with the product and the shipments under COVID? So how did you manage that operation? How you were able to keep the operation running?
Here in Chile, the authorities were really strict about keeping control of the COVID situation to avoid the spread of the disease or infestation of people. And first of all, we managed the operations working from home with all the employees that are not part of the day-to-day operation at the port. Day-to-day operations at the farm or at the packing houses could not stop. I mean, we got special permits. We have to implement special safety measures in the packing houses to avoid the concentration of too many people in one area. Make the proper segregation. It was really a nightmare for the operations. It increased our cost because we couldn't work the shifts that we required to work. But at the end of the day, we manage in a good way. Now, the clerical staff, people, administration, all those type of employees, they remain at home, working from home. We implemented laptops and mobility for everyone. That was a great good part. The company was very generous on this part because you couldn't go out of the streets here in Chile during 2020. And later on, they ease up on the restrictions. But on the beginning, on 2020, it was very strict. So the only guys running or on the streets or moving on the street were people with a certificate. You have to have a special certificate
that
identifies you as an employee of a food company. And food was essential. So it's an essential part of the life of a human being. And therefore, we were allowed to do the harvest, to do the farming, to do the packing, to transport the fruit to the port and to load the ships. So the disruptions were in a way that in some cases they shut down a port or they shut down an operation. We have an operation in a packing house shut down for 3 days, and that's really critical. So, because when they find, it's like China, China and COVID, and they discover one people with fever, they shut down the port. And it was a big mess. That created a big mess for all Chilean groups.
How did you manage the team, the level of commitment with your people, the energy, and the families? Because that was also a social disruption for the companies.
It was a social disruption. Actually, we organized meetings via virtual meetings, Zoom or Teams, and we gathered to discuss and to see each other face to face. okay, we couldn't meet each other because in person presential, mm-hmm. because it wasn't allowed. But people was very, very committed. I mean, this company has people working in the same company for 35 years, 36 years. So as I told you, when I came back in 2006, I just met with old friends that mm-hmm. I have met before in the late 80s. So those are the same guys still working here with me, and they are really committed to the company.
That's very, very great, very great. And for sure, that time of COVID and through different years, I mean, the technology and digitalization have been increasing, ready to stay for long, also with artificial intelligence in some cases. How you have been incorporating that kind of digitalization or any artificial intelligent tools in your business? There is any case example that you can tell us about it?
Well, in our particular case, I'm not aware about anything like that here in Chile. I'm sure that the company has something in mind, because that's the vision of mm-hmm. the chairman, to be a technological company. I believe that in artificial intelligence, predictable analysis, or even ChatGPT, mm-hmm. is something that is coming here to stay, meaning mm-hmm. that you have to jump on that train, because that will save lots of time, lots of people. I mean, thinking about how to do things when you have real data. You have mm-hmm. to use your data. You have to use the data that you have for your benefit. And, and for that, I believe the company is preparing something very important. I'm not aware about what they are doing. In my particular case here in South America, we don't have anything like that. We are using some systems, in-house systems from our IT department, and we are happy with that. We implemented with COVID, mm-hmm. we implemented automated several areas. We automated at the packing house. We automated things at the, even at the farming side, we automated things. Like, we have started trials mm-hmm. with robots to determine in a farm, the crop, to give us a count of the crop.
Great.
We have also machines for pruning, which save us in labor, special machines for pruning the trees. Yeah.
Okay.
Things like that. We also have probes to determine humidity of the soil and to determine when to irrigate, when not to irrigate, when what kind of fertilizer do we have to put, what MPK formula to add to the soil to make it more better for the plant. Yeah, it's the nutrient for the plant. That those areas we are doing it.
Very interesting, because this is the kind of technology that usually sometimes we see on internet machinery going and identifying through artificial intelligence the state of the fruit, the state of the soil, and the irrigation.
This is the kind of things that we are implementing now.
Oh, great, great. That's very, very, very important. And just in that way, why do you think that the digitalization is key for the supply chain? I mean, because as you said before, I mean, digitalization is fast response for everything, and you are in a very fast moving chain, no? So also maybe incorporating the term of blockchain in the industry, in the fruit industry, should be a great benefit. Do you have something about it to comment or?
No. We don't have in our case, as I mentioned, we don't have it. Uh-huh. But I can tell you from what I have learned from the industry is that when you have a predictable analysis of the behaviors or trends of the consumer, you can actually have a better control of your logistics. Well, let's say that you can regulate the flow of cargo or product moving into certain markets. When you have everything, when you are a category, when you are running the category or managing the category of one of your vendors or suppliers, the retailers, then you have access to all the info that is even at the point of sale. The cashier, whenever the cashier is scanning a code for the product, it reduces the inventory in their warehouses and immediately triggers a warning to the farming side, hey, we need to replenish the stock of this guy.
Perfect.
So I believe it makes all the sense in the world, because right now what you're doing is you're packing, cooling, shipping, and distributing without knowing if the fruit will arrive there and sit for a week before it's sold, or for 10 days, or for a month. So you will avoid trips. You will be more fuel efficient because you will do just one trip, not two or three. At the same time, the quality of the fruit will be well preserved, because they will take care of what they need and then you will not have excess inventory in your warehouses and all that. I believe that's the way I see the artificial intelligence on the supply chain. To help you regulate what you send to the market, and you have to send to the market what the market needs and not what you have on free.
Exactly, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And that is related also for my next question, no? Which are the future trends that maybe you can see? If you have a crystal ball to predict the future, what do you think that maybe is going to happen or take place in that specific industry?
Well, I believe that the technology will be part of one of the tools that we will have here with us. So we will be able to know ahead what to plant, what kind of variety do the customer need. So we plant the variety, and we make sure that in 3 years' time, when the variety is producing, we will be able to serve the customers. Mm-hmm. We will anticipate to the changes of the market. The market is changing very quickly. You know that in the U.S. Or on the marketplace, it used to be green grapes, red grapes, and black grapes.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's not like that. A green grape has different names, has Thompson Seedless, Sugar One, Sweet Gloves, different varieties, but it's all green grapes. But the retailers, they're not only looking for a green grape, they're looking for a specific variety. So if you follow the trends of the market, you will be able to stay on top in order to be the top supplier or the one that has the fruit at the right time. That's something that the technology can bring in, and can bring it to you by using properly the data that is provided by your customers. Anyone can crunch data, but it will take longer if you do it manually. If you have this ChatGPT AI or predictable analysis tool, it will be different. Make things easier.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. No, that has been a great, great conversation, knowing about all the fresh fruit chain of moving product. No, that has been very interesting, and knowing all your different expertise and knowledge about that. And I have to maybe two more questions. No, first one is, which recommendation and advice for professionals that want to start in this career of supply chain in the logistics, where you have been developing yourself? I mean, which kind of recommendation can you give to them to develop their careers in supply chain if they like it?
Well, I can tell from my own experience, to be resilient, to be accurate, to be consistent, to be focused. I mean, challenges, you face challenges every day, and that will not discourage you, because you are facing bumps in the road. Mm-hmm. And that's one part. The other one is to learn to learn and read a lot, read about the new trends. I mean, be on top of all the new things that the technology can is bringing to the table. In the past, it was unthinkable to have, mm-hmm. say, a reefer container on a Maersk ship sending you the data of the fruit that is inside of that particular container.
That's right.
In my time, it was mm-hmm. unthinkable. Right now, it's a service. They provide yeah. a service. So I mean, all those kind of things are making your life easier. But then you have to be able to, you need to be able to read that data properly and to react based on that. I believe the most important thing is to be a quick thinker. You need to
quick
react
thinker.
quick, yeah, and make quick decisions. Yeah. Otherwise, you will be you will stay behind. The guys, they don't yeah. take prisoners. I mean, the marketplace, they don't take prisoners.
That's right. So that has been a great, great conversation, Sergio, having you today. And I would like just to give you a space for the final, your final message to the audience before we say the farewell.
Well, the final message, I believe I already told everyone that to be focused and to be ahead of the game. I believe the biggest challenge right now is the climate change. We have to be conscious about this. Mm-hmm. We have to be conscious. And it's not just saving water or saving nature forest. It's just what I'm saying is that we have to be able to react on the challenges, on the changes. 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, nobody suspected that. And then California suddenly is out of half of the fruit. They lost 40 million boxes of grapes in one shot. And immediately, imagine what is going on right now. The suppliers are now looking for the balance of the fruit. Where is that fruit? Well, the fruit is mm-hmm. nowhere in the northern hemisphere, but it's here in the south. So immediately people here in Chile and in Peru are reacting and are thinking about strategies, how to move that fruit quicker to the marketplace. So yeah. my message is to be on top of things and everything. Read the news. I mean, be attendant to the market trends and all that. Market change quickly. And one day is a disaster, and the next day is a sunny day with plenty of hope and plenty of things to bring you. Yeah, to be resilient.
Yeah, to be aware. Definitely. And having a great, great conversation. Thank you very much for having you today.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you to you, and thanks everybody for listening our podcast. If you like what you hear, you must go to www.codeglobal.com and click on the button of the podcast to see all the programs and notes. You can also subscribe to mailing lists to receive all updates and news. You can share with your friends and also follow us on LinkedIn. And if you are looking to hire senior supply chain executives in your business, in Latin, US, Spain, and worldwide, we are here in Alcott Global Executive Search ready to help you. Please let us know on how we can help you. Have a great day.